Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Today, as you know, is Easter Sunday, April 1, 2018. And therefore, I thought it might be helpful to break into the usual series, which we are now doing in the Gospel of John, in the early chapters of the Gospel of John, and take a few moments today to look specifically at the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I hope you agree with me that the resurrection from the dead is the capstone of Christ's saving life and his work upon the earth. And indeed, it is the capstone of the Christian faith. The Apostle Paul, I think, emphasizes that in many ways in his epistles. The preachers throughout the book of Acts also emphasize that same fact, that the gospel is not complete apart from the resurrection of Christ from the dead. But it is true that the doctrine of the resurrection is greatly attacked by many, certainly more than the doctrine of Christ's death. In fact, I can't think of hardly ever hearing someone who denies that Jesus died. Now, even as I make that statement, some examples have come to mind, so I know that there are some who actually do that, believe it or not. But it's far less common for someone to attack the death of Christ than to attack the resurrection of Christ. Or maybe attack is too strong a word. That's what it boils down to in the final analysis, but it doesn't always appear that way. People tend to do this in soft tones and in polite speech, but to undermine faith in the reality of Christ's resurrection. So why is it that most people don't find any difficulty believing in the death of Christ, but far more find it difficult to believe in the resurrection of Christ? And I think the answer to that is because death is natural. It's not hard to believe that any man or woman, any person, died. Everybody dies. That's a natural event. That's a human event. That's an event that is linked to human weakness, and one that we are all very familiar with. But the resurrection is a supernatural event, a divine event. An event linked to eternal power. An event that at this point in our experience, we are not familiar with. We have not witnessed, we have not observed any resurrections, though we have observed many deaths. And therefore, the resurrection of Christ is more easily attacked, more easily undermined, and becomes a greater difficulty for some people as they are considering the claims of the gospel and of the Christian faith. So, to that end, we open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Thank you for joining me this Easter Sunday, April 1. And thanks for those whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. First, I read the Scripture. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, Rejoice! So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priest all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the money and did as they were instructed, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. I stop my reading at verse 15. Well, let's look at some of the critical explanations of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's some who explain the claim of the resurrection by saying that Jesus only fainted on the cross, did not fully die, did not die, I don't know if fully is the right word. One is either dead or one is not dead, and yet we know, medically speaking, that it is possible to come very close to death and appear to be dead, and yet not to be dead, and actually to revive. Sometimes we hear really strange stories like that. Every now and then, it seems like every few weeks, one of them will pop up on internet news of somebody who was waiting in a morgue and he or she revived. I read not too long ago of a child that was pronounced dead and was waiting in the morgue of the hospital to be picked up and taken to the funeral home, and the child revived. And this is in modern days when we have a whole lot better ways, a whole lot more scientific equipment and understanding to be able to determine whether a person is actually dead or not. But even in modern days, with modern science, we cannot always be sure. It takes actually some time, doesn't it? A person has to exhibit the symptoms of death for a pretty good period of time to be absolutely certain that it is so, believe it or not. Now, it doesn't normally happen that way. Normally, when someone draws their last breath, you know that they are, in fact, dead. But we do have these strange phenomena, these exceptions, which cause us to understand that it is possible for a person to be thought dead who is not actually dead. And that's the explanation which some people give to the resurrection of Christ. They say that he only fainted on the cross, did not die, and was buried alive and revived in the tomb and walked away from the tomb. But before we accept that explanation, we need to at least endeavor to answer a few questions, such as, why did the Roman soldiers believe that he was dead and on the basis of that fail to break his legs as they did that of the other prisoners to hasten their death? Again, they're not doctors, they're not scientists, they couldn't be absolutely certain, but we do have this testimony that they believed that he was dead. Another question that needs to be asked, how did he survive the spear thrust into his side? You remember, going back to the account of the crucifixion, that when the soldiers determined that he had already died, and therefore they didn't find it necessary to break his legs in order to hasten his death, one of them instead, took his spear and thrust it up into his side, and we're told out came a great quantity of blood and other bodily fluid, water is what it's called. And the question is, how did he survive that if they were wrong, that he was not actually dead, if he had only fainted? How did he survive a wound like that? From a medical, from a scientific standpoint, that would be exceedingly difficult to explain or to believe that he could have survived. We further could ask the question, how did Joseph of Arimathea fail to detect his breathing when he prepared him for burial, packing the spices around him? And how did Jesus, here's another important question, how did Jesus, who was only nearly dead, mere hours before, push away that great stone and walk out of the tomb in perfect health? And finally, how did he get past the soldiers, the guards, who were appointed to guard the tomb to make sure that the disciples did not come to steal away the body of Jesus? How did he get past those soldiers who guarded the tomb without their detecting him? Those are some critical questions for those who would propose that Jesus did not die. He only fainted and then revived in the tomb. That's actually harder to explain, I think, in my mind, than to explain the divine miracle of the resurrection. And admittedly, it is a miracle. It doesn't happen normally. It doesn't happen naturally. It requires a direct intervention of God. But that's exactly what the scriptures claim for it. Of course, another explanation, and the one that's given to us here in Matthew chapter 28, and the one that the Jews embraced and propagated, is that the disciples stole the body of Jesus from the tomb. He didn't actually rise from the dead. There was no resurrection, only the appearance of one, because the disciples came and stole away the body. And that explanation also then demands some additional questions to be answered before we can give it any serious consideration. Question number one, what did the disciples do with the body? There's certainly no record of that in the Bible, and it had to go somewhere. If they took it out of the tomb, where did they put it? Where did they bury it? Where did they hide it? Another question, how did they get past the Roman guard that had been put there for that very purpose? These Roman soldiers placed there at the tomb with specific instructions, you be sure you guard this tomb to prevent his disciples from coming and stealing away the body. How did the disciples manage to steal the body with the guard in place? And who was it, therefore, who appeared to the disciples repeatedly over the next 40 days, as recorded in Scripture? If it wasn't Jesus, because he was not resurrected, and his body was merely stolen and placed someplace else, then who appeared to the disciples repeatedly over the next 40 days that is recorded in Scripture as the appearance of Jesus Christ? And another question, why did a holy angel lie about the reason for the empty tomb? Now, I'm not saying that people can't come up with answers for all of these questions and explanations which satisfy those who are determined to deny the resurrection of Christ, but for Christians, these are good things to think of, because the more you think about it, the more clear it becomes that the resurrection is the only reasonable explanation for what happened. We could even add to this one, how do you explain the transformation of the disciples from a disheartened band to a fiery and fearless proponent of a new cause? If they stole the body, then they knew that he didn't rise from the dead. They knew that they had tried to perpetrate a hoax upon the Jewish community. They knew in their hearts that it was not so. So how do you explain their transformation from cowering men who were afraid to even be identified in the courtyard when Jesus was on trial, even quaked in the presence of a servant girl to the fearless band of preachers who were willing to go to prison, who were willing to lay down their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ and for a cause that they knew full well was not true because they were guilty of stealing the body. It really doesn't make sense. Another explanation that some have offered is that not that the disciples stole the body from the tomb, but that the Jewish authorities themselves took the body. Well, that's pretty easy to answer. Just followed up with this question. If that's the case, why didn't they produce the body to disprove the disciples' report of Jesus' resurrection? If they took it, they knew where it was, they could produce it and say, here's the evidence that you are mistaken. Here is the evidence that you are all fools to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Here's his body. But I'm not done with some of the explanations that people come up with to try to deny the resurrection of Christ. There's another explanation that goes something like this, that Jesus' friends and disciples, the women and others, went to the wrong tomb. They found the tomb empty because it was empty. It had not been occupied. But then there are some follow-up questions on that. If that's the case, whose grave clothes did John and Peter find in the empty tomb? And what was an angel doing at someone else's tomb rather than the tomb of Jesus? And how did so many followers of Christ all forget the way to the tomb at the same time? There are a good many of them that came to the tomb, and all of them went to the wrong tomb. Nobody could remember what was the correct tomb. That doesn't make good sense to me either. These kinds of explanations sound like somebody grasping at straws. They really don't make much sense at all. And here's another one. Some believe that the followers of Christ hallucinated. They wanted to believe in the resurrection so badly that they thought they saw him, but they did not. It was all a mistake. It was all an hallucination. And some follow-up questions to that possibility must be addressed, such as, can a group of people all hallucinate at the same time? Mass hallucination? I suppose it's possible, but it's not very likely. We do know of cases where an individual has hallucinations. They think they see things they do not see. They therefore believe things that are not true on the basis of their hallucination. But it's very rare to have a mass hallucination where a group of people are all seeing at the same time something which is not there, who all believe that they are witnessing something which is not true. Can, say, 11 people all hallucinate at the same time? Can 500 people all hallucinate at the same time? Because Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that in his final appearance he was seen by more than 500 brethren at once. And another question, can people repeat the same hallucination over 40 weeks in different locations under different circumstances? Remember, the disciples saw him in the upper room. They saw him in the upper room a week later. Some of them saw him on the road to Emmaus. Some of the women saw him in the garden where the tomb was after they thought he was the gardener and then realized that it was in fact Jesus Christ. And 500 of them saw him in Galilee. And some of these were the same people who saw him in multiple locations. Now, can people repeat the same hallucination over a span of 40 weeks in many different locations under many different circumstances? The answer is, I doubt it. I doubt it. I don't think so. That is so incredibly unlikely. It is such a preposterous claim, such a preposterous explanation that it's actually harder to believe than the real one. That Almighty God, who has all power, because he is omnipotent, who has the power to create the universe, has the power to raise someone from the dead. Now, as we look at the evidence, first of all, that Jesus really and truly died. As we already pointed out, the Roman soldiers believed that he was dead. The soldiers plunged a spear into Jesus' side. It's impossible to explain how he could have survived this. When Joseph of Arimathea requested the body of Jesus, Pilate required the centurion to certify that Jesus was in fact dead. Joseph and Nicodemus prepared the body for burial. If there had been any signs of life, surely they would have detected them at that time. All four Gospels record that Jesus breathed his last, or that he yielded up his spirit, or gave up his spirit. They all, in different ways, report the same thing, that his last breath was drawn and there was no more breath until he was raised from the dead. Matthew, Mark, and Luke record that when Jesus died, the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, divine certification of his death. The end of the Old Testament era, the end of animal sacrifices, for Jesus' death was the sacrifice that met God's demands. How do you explain that if Jesus did not rise from the dead? And furthermore, there's the evidence of the empty tomb. The Jewish authorities certainly did everything they were able to do to keep Jesus' body in the grave. They sealed the tomb. They guarded the tomb. And if the tomb wasn't empty, they would have produced the body. Numerous eyewitnesses saw the empty tomb. Several of the women, Peter, John, that we know of, all recorded in the Gospels, and we don't know how many others came after that to view the empty tomb for themselves. In all likelihood, there were many. But the tomb was certifiably empty by multiple witnesses, and the reaction of the authorities when the empty tomb was reported to them by the soldiers, who themselves certified that the tomb was empty, bribed the guards to say his disciples stole the body, something they would not have had to do unless the tomb was indeed empty. It was. And it's pretty hard to explain any other way than by the reality of the resurrection. And beyond that, there is the evidence of the many appearances of Christ after the resurrection. He was seen by Mary Magdalene, John 20, by a group of women, Matthew 28, by two disciples on the road to Emmaus, Luke 24, by Peter, Luke 24, by 10 disciples in the upper room, Luke 24, 11 disciples in the upper room, John 20, 7 disciples at the Sea of Galilee, John 21, 11 disciples on the mountain in Galilee, Matthew 28, and the disciples near Bethany, Acts chapter 1, not to mention those that are that larger group of 500 that Paul refers to in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. All of these people are reported to have seen Jesus alive after he died on the cross. There is the evidence of the Jewish authorities themselves. Why did they bribe the soldiers to lie if, in fact, there was no empty tomb, if, in fact, there was some other explanation that they could bring out to prove that he did not rise from the dead? Their story cannot stand up to scrutiny, this story that the disciples came and stole the body away. That doesn't hold up at all, and their bribery proves that they believed that Jesus had risen from the dead. They bribed the soldiers to lie about it because they didn't want others to believe it, but that demonstrates that they believed it. If they believed any of these other explanations, they would have searched for the body. That would have been their first activity. What? The body's gone from the tomb? Send out a group of soldiers. Go get as many people as you can find. Track the whereabouts of all of the apostles of Christ. Grab any one of them you can and question them upon upon the threat of death to tell us where they hid the body. Search until we find the body, and we will put this false report to rest once and for all. That's not what they did. What did they do? The very first thing they did was give money to the soldiers and say, you go tell people that while you slept, oh, wow. This had to be a pretty big bribe for the soldiers to take a chance with that, because every Roman soldier knew that if he were guilty of sleeping on the job, he could lose his life. This is incredible, but the bribe must have been sufficient, and they assured them that if this report comes to the governor's ears, we'll make certain that you don't pay the death penalty that otherwise you would pay. And so they took that substantial bribe, and I'm sure with some qualms, nevertheless, they went out and reported that while they slept, the soldiers came and stole him away. By the way, that report is a bunch of hooey. If they were in fact sleeping, and if the body were stolen, how do they know it was the disciples? If they were in fact sleeping, how do they know how the body got out of the tomb? How do they know the disciples stole it and not somebody else? How do they know that anybody stole it and that there is not some other explanation? How can you say with a straight face, while we slept, his disciples came and stole the body away? That report doesn't even make good sense. And there is, finally, the evidence of the disciples of Jesus themselves, who were clearly, according to the gospel accounts, unbelieving regarding the resurrection and dispirited. It actually turns out that the religious leaders of the Jews apparently had greater faith in the announcement by Christ that he would rise from the dead than his own disciples did. They didn't believe it. And the scripture makes that clear, that they never did believe it until it happened, and even until some time after it happened. They were doubting, not believing. They were doubting even in the face of evidence. They had to be convinced repeatedly. It was very difficult to convince the apostles of Christ that Jesus has risen from the dead. But something changed cowardly, unbelieving, common men, fishermen, and others into courageous zealots and martyrs. What could be the explanation for that if it is not the resurrection of Jesus from the dead? Some would say, well, God was able to do that. He was able to work in their hearts and change their hearts. Well, if you believe that's the explanation, then why don't you believe the report that the scripture gives us that God raised his son from the dead? And how do you explain the beginning of the Christian church? It really is hard to explain, apart from the fact that at least these disciples were convinced of the resurrection. Really, only the resurrection of Christ can explain it. And that's why, on this Easter Sunday, I'm glad to report to you that I believe with all my heart, without the slightest doubt, that Jesus rose from the dead, and I believe, therefore, that those who trust in Jesus shall also rise from the dead, and I believe that the same Jesus who rose from the dead is coming again. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.